you would turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. All right, just one verse as a jumping off point, okay, because I think it pretty much deals with our topic this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says, "The church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours." This morning we come to the part of the creed that says, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints." The placement of that statement is important. It comes, of course, after we have stated our belief in the Trinity. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. It also comes immediately after our expressed belief in the Holy Spirit. That's because it is the work of the Spirit that joins us to the church. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit." Notice, it's the Spirit that puts us into the body of Christ. We are baptized by the Spirit into one body. So as we look at the creed, this statement about the church follows after our Trinitarian formula, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It follows immediately after our statement of belief in the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that puts us in the church. So it's the triune God, the church, and then you'll notice comes the experiences of salvation. All right, after we read the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, then we read the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So it's before these individual experiences that the church is mentioned. So there seems to be an order here, the triune God, the church, and then the individual experiences of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Now, sadly, we are prone to reverse that order. We think about us first, what we want, how we feel. Then we choose a church based on our personal preferences, like you would choose which grocery store you frequent. And even then, putting our church experience over what we should believe about God. That's in the wrong order. It's not me first, then I pick the church, and then the church tells me what I believe about God. It should be, what do we believe about God? Where can I find this expressed in a church? And then me. Rugged American individualism trumps what the Bible says about the church sometimes. But the creed dispels any notion of individualistic Christianity. We come at the bottom of the list. So this morning, we think about the statement, "I believe in the church." I believe in the church. Let's pray. Father, this morning we're here in church. The word church is used many different ways. My whole life I have been in full-time ministry, so I have often announced at home, "I'm going to church," because that's where I come to work. Lord, we call this building the church. When I was growing up, we called the 9 o'clock service Sunday school and the 10 o'clock service church. What is the church? Lord, I pray as we express our belief in the Holy Catholic Church that we know what we're talking about. So give us wisdom, I pray. Amen. So what do we mean when we say the church? Well, first of all, the church is holy. The church is holy. Now, look at verse 2, 1 Corinthians 1, 2. To the church, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Okay, so this is being addressed to the church, God's church, which is meeting in Corinth. But how does he describe them? To those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. That's point one. The church is holy. We have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. We are saints by calling. Now, you'll notice that although they met at Corinth, they are the church of God. Okay? They are the church of God. We meet in Palmyra. We're the church at Palmyra. But we're also a part of something bigger. We are the church of God that meets in Palmyra. Okay? It's wrong to say, but we do it, I understand that, well, this is our church. Well, I know what you mean, but it's God's church. often pastors, if we get together with other pastors, they'll say something like, "How big is your church?" or "Tell me about your church." And I know what they mean, and they know what they mean. I'm not going to lecture them, but you know, you want to say, "Well, it's not my church; it's God's church," right? It's God's church. If that's true, then God's church can meet anywhere. Now, it's nice to have a building that's heated. Amen. It's nice to have somewhat comfortable chairs. It's nice to have carpet. It's nice to have a PA system that works. It's nice to have a platform to stand on. But you don't need any of those things to have church. Right? The church is not the building. And the church isn't actually a place. It's a people. Now, again, we're meeting as the church in Palmyra. But we belong to God. Okay? To the church of God, which is at Corinth. We belong to God. And belonging to God and being holy go hand in hand. Look what it says. Verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those... What is the church? It's those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. The word sanctified means to be set apart. It means to be made holy. Belonging to God and being holy go hand in hand. We belong to God because He has made us holy. He has sanctified us. He has set us apart. We are set apart by God for God. That's what the church is. It's people set apart by God for God. The church is holy. Holiness is both a position and a calling. A position and a calling to live out. Holiness is definitive and progressive. So we're made holy by God, and then we're called to be holy. We are holy people who are to behave like holy people. We are holy people who are to behave like holy people. Look at chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We are holy people who are to behave like holy people. We have been called to be a saint, and we are called saints. Again, the church is made up of people who have been set apart by God to be His people. We are God's people. The church is holy. It's not just any human institution. The true church is holy because God has called the members to holiness, has sanctified them, has given them righteousness, as we'll see here next week, the forgiveness of sins. So, number one, the church is holy. Number two, the church is Catholic. Now, if you're on our email list, my reminder this week was titled, I Believe in the Catholic Church. Notice, but here's what that means. Verse 2. With all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to follow the flow here. Here's the church at Corinth. And each of them have been sanctified and they're called saints. But they're also with all in every place who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that every place signifies not in Corinth. Okay? We're the saints of God here in Palmyra. And there are other churches in Palmyra that are full of saints of God. I'm not singling us out. What I'm saying can be said by their pastor at that church. But my point is here that Paul has both groups in focus. There's the church of God, which includes, he says, everyone, all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the church of Corinth. That particular local group of people who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. This is what we mean by Catholic. There's a difference between Holy Catholic Church, and that's with a small h, a small c, and a small c. Okay. And the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is spelled with a capital R, capital C, a capital C. The Roman Catholic Church. Church. Now, the word Catholic comes from two Greek words that mean about and whole. So the word Catholic simply means universal. It's about the whole thing. Okay. And again, this is what he's saying here. With all and every place who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Roman Catholic with a capital C, is a noun. But Catholic, small c, is an adjective. When we say we believe in the Catholic Church, small c, we are using the word Catholic to describe what the church is. It's universal. In other words, I can't just claim, well, I'm part of the church, but because you go to a different church, you're not part of the church. Well, yes, we are with all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we say Catholic, small c, it's an adjective to describe the nature of the church. The word Catholic, small c, embraces all Christians everywhere, all true Christians everywhere. Now, we've already seen in the creed that a true Christian believes in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, so it's more than just saying, well, I'm a Christian. Well, what do you believe about Christianity? What do you think Christianity teaches? But if those who call upon the Lord Jesus Christ are in the church, be it in Palmyra or Philadelphia or Los Angeles, doesn't matter. Jesus said, I will build my, what? Church, not churches, right? Jesus will build his church. His body, that universal group of people who call upon him as Lord and Savior. He will build that body. Okay. Individual churches come and go. I always like to use this little quiz. What does every of the churches in the book of Revelation, the seven churches of Revelation, what does every one of them have in common? They're no longer here. They're gone. Right? Churches come and go. But the church is everlasting. Christ will build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the church is his body. Look at chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. So each of us is in, has been put in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. That is the Catholic Church. That is the universal church. We're all members of the same body. This body meets here in Palmyra. I am an independent. I've always been part of an independent church. I grew up fiercely independent. I like to tell people we were so independent we didn't get along with ourselves. Okay. But being an independent church doesn't mean we are independent of other believers. Okay. Being an independent church, and we are, we're not affiliated with any denomination. You may think that's good or bad. There's pros and cons. But at least we have to admit, those of us who you know, claim to be an independent, autonomous church, doesn't mean that we're independent of other believers and other churches. We're all part of the same body. We're all part of the same body. So the church is holy. When we say, I believe in the church, I'm talking about the church that's been set apart by God to holiness, that has been sanctified, that's full of people who have been called to be saints, a holy people who are to behave like holy people. I believe the church is universal, it's Catholic, that anybody who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is part of that body, regardless of denominational affiliation. And that's because, thirdly, the church is a communion. The church is a communion. Now, again, look at our text. We'll see how he ends with the third point. Their Lord and ours. Okay, so, again, first we have, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, that is, the church is holy. With all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, the church is Catholic. It's all in every place. Their Lord and ours. The church is communion. We share the same Lord. We share the same Lord. The word communion comes from common union. Communion. It's related to the word community. What's a community? It's a group of people who have something in common. In most cases, we call that you live in the same neighborhood, you live in the same community. But maybe you have the same hobby, or you have the same preference, or whatever. This is a community. It's something in common. When we say the church is a communion, it means it's a group of people that have something in common. The word communication that comes from the same root. What is communication? It's sharing information back and forth. It's sharing in the same information. So when we say the church is a communion, basically we mean it's a group of people who share in something. Okay. In fact, I thought about using this as the title. The Holy Catholic Church is the communion of saints. When we read the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, we're looking at those two phrases together. But I thought about putting the Holy Catholic Church equals the communion of saints, is the communion of saints. That's what the church is, a communion. It's a body of people who have something in common. We have been set apart by God. We are members individually of his body. I struggle with the fact that at a time when I believe, and I truly believe this, rough roads are ahead for churches, especially Bible-believing churches. It's at a time when we're going to need each other more, but yet we are unfortunately are having to create habits where you can worship at home. Now, we have an IT department that's done a great job with live stream and recording the sermons and the services, and we send out DVDs and all that. I'm thankful for that. I really am. If that's the world we live in now, then we need to do it the best to our ability. But I wish we didn't have to do it at all. Okay. Again, I understand we're in a particular time, and this is where we're at, and this is what's necessary. But I don't believe watching on a screen at home every week is going to equip you for what's coming ahead. You need each other. We need each other. We need that community, that common. We are joined to Christ in saving union. Right? We have a the word communion means common union. We are joined to Christ in a saving union. Look at chapter 12, verse 12. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. There's the common union we have. We are all members of the same body, the body of Christ. We are a communion of believers. Now, the Church of God at Corinth means that this union of believers meets in local churches, in specific places. Although the oneness is invisible and created by the Holy Spirit, it is made visible in the local church. Okay? There's the invisible church and the visible church. The invisible church, you can't see it. It's made up of people that from Pentecost till now, for 2,000 years, no matter what country or what language or what culture they're in, they're all part of that same church. And everybody in the invisible church are believers. They have been sanctified by God. People in the visible church, some claim to be Christians and they're not. So it's possible to be in a local church and not truly be a believer. It's impossible to be in the universal church and not be a true believer. Okay? So although this oneness is invisible, it's created by the Holy Spirit and it's made visible in the local church. The local church is a visible gathering of the faithful to represent Christ's presence in the world. It's not where we meet, it's who we are. That's what verse 2 is getting at. Now, know this. The world of our parents and grandparents is no more. We have to realize that the Western world, the United States, has changed. Now, it has either already or else is very quickly becoming post-Christian and radically secular. Secular means the absence of God. Okay? The church is now a resistance movement. When I first came to age and got active in church and society at large, it was the age of the moral majority. Okay? We've gone from the moral majority to, in the world's eyes, an immoral minority. What do I mean by that? A lot of things we believe the world now thinks is immoral. It used to be, you talked about moral? What's a man and a wife married forever, that, you know, till death do us part. That was what's moral. Now if I tell people, hey, marriage is only between a man and a woman till death do you part, I'm the immoral guy. Right? Morality has been turned on its head. But listen, Ready? Christ will build his church. Christ will build his church. Christ is all we have to offer. It's not programs or politics or protest or even celebrity pastors. It's Christ. Now, this creed has given believers a common expression of the apostolic faith for over 2,000 years, regardless of geography, language, culture, government, economics, or anything. That is encouraging. We are part of a bigger picture. We're part of a movement, if you want to call it that, that stretches back 2,000 years. And Christ has promised to build his church. Now, one visible demonstration of this unity we share in Christ is called, appropriately, communion. Communion is a way of visibly demonstrating that we are part of the same body. We share in the same blood. We partake of the same body, the cup, the bread. That's why it's called communion. People who are part of the body of Christ, regardless if this is their home church or not, to us, you do not have to be a member of this church, but you should be a member of the body of Christ. And by taking communion, we are demonstrating that visibly. We're demonstrating visibly something that is invisible, right? That we've been baptized by the Spirit into the body. So we're going to take communion. Again, this communion is different than the way we would normally do communion, and hopefully before long we can do it the way that we used to do it. But you have received a cup. On one side, the smaller side is a wafer, a cracker, okay? And then on the other side is the juice, okay? So we're going to read some scripture, and we're going to take the wafer first. So after I read the scripture, you just tear the top off and take the wafer, all right? We're still in 1 Corinthians. This is chapter 11. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks..." Now, I've asked Steve Ford, our head deacon, if he would lead us in prayer and give thanks for the body. Okay.
"Thank you, Heavenly Father, for providing your Son's sacrifice for us, turning back your wrath, making our salvation possible, and all the benefits that come from that. Thank you that we could remember that this morning and be very thankful for it and share it with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen."
"And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" "In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray. "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." We reflect, we remember that on the cross, God's Son spilled his life's blood so that we could have life. Thank you for the sacrifice. Lord, as we each take a moment now, as I will be silent for a little while, may each of us talk to you. Let your Spirit examine us. May we praise you for what you've done. and the sacrifice that you have made. May we reflect upon when we came to know you. Amen. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Father, we have shared in a common meal. It's called the Lord's Supper. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. It's about what he did for us. Lord, again, as we looked at this creed, next week we'll talk about the individual effects, the individual experiences of sins forgiven and resurrection from the dead and eternal life. But Lord, we're not there yet. Right now we're just celebrating that we are part of the body of Christ that stretches around the world. It doesn't matter what language you speak, what system of government you're under, what your economic status is. It doesn't matter what culture you live in. It doesn't matter what continent you live on. It doesn't matter how long ago you lived. We are all part of the same body. That's what we mean when we say, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints." Amen.